Scales of the Serpent. 5 years had changed Tristan Cadence a great deal, but visually, he was much the same. He was tall, with the athletic physique of a professional duelist, and the impeccable confidence to match. His brown hair was our mother's, but it had grown much longer in his time away from home. He may have had characteristics that mirrored our father as well, but I chose to ignore those. Tristan wore a formal tunic that trailed to his feet, and a sword belted on his hip. He slowly shook his head.
"I warned you not to come here, but I knew you wouldn't listen."
He opened his arms wide.
"Welcome to my humble home."
I glanced from side to side. "Where are my friends?" Tristan chuckled.
"They're fine. They went straight to a safe room on the next floor. I made special arrangements for when you passed through that doorway."
I nodded slowly, examining the area further. "Was this all a part of your plan, then? Telling me not to come here just to encourage me to do it?"
"No, no. I was sincere about that. It really was dangerous for you to come here, and you shouldn't stay long. We're both in danger right now. But since you made it obvious you were too stubborn to leave from written instructions alone, I decided it would be wise to tell you directly."
I took a breath. "We can leave just as soon as you're ready to go," Tristan laughed.
"If it was that simple, I'd have left a long time ago."
I'd expected that answer. I frowned, scanning the area again while I considered my approach. Tristan frowned.
"You're being awfully quiet. I assumed you'd object more strenuously."
I turned my eyes back to him. "I'm looking for traps."
"This isn't that sort of room. Not that I blame you for checking, of course."
Thinking of Tristan himself, I wasn't entirely certain I agreed. His appearance here could have easily been a trap in itself. I turned my attunement on. He registered as having a sunstone-level aura. Ordinary for his age. Nothing like monstrously powerful youths like Derek or Alora. I nodded to myself. He's probably suppressing his shroud. I took a few steps forward. "Before we discuss things any further, I should confirm something. How can I be certain that you're Tristan and not an illusion or trick?"
"Ah, good. We're getting to that part already. Shall I tell you another story about our youth?"
I shrugged. "A simulacrum could tell a story?"
"Ha. Nothing I can do is going to prove I'm not a copy of myself. I can, however, at least convince you that I'm something with Tristan's memories and not a trap by someone else."
I folded my arms. "A bit of transference mana could test if you're a simulacrum." Tristan blinked.
"You want to hit me with mana?"
"It won't hurt. Probably." Tristan sighed.
"Does it even matter if I'm a simulacrum or not?"
"I'd really like to know. Someone else could control a simulacrum, get you to say anything they wanted you to."
"Humans can be controlled, too." Tristan took a few steps closer. "Don't you recall what happened to Derek?"
"You're not exactly inspiring confidence by pointing out there are other ways you could be deceiving me."
Tristan waved a hand dismissively. "Fine, fine. I'm not lying, though. It really is me. And you can run your little test."
I channeled a bit of transference mana in my hand, walked to a few feet away, and blasted him with it. Tristan rubbed his shoulder, but he didn't evaporate.
"Satisfied?"
I shook my head. "Not yet. Give me your hand."
"Why?"
"I'm going to flood you with purified mana to attempt to free you from mental compulsion, since you pointed out you could be controlled by someone else." Tristan laughed.
"I suppose that wouldn't hurt anything."
He reached out his hand. And for the first time in 5 years, I held my brother's hand. Then I bombarded it with mana. Tristan made a perplexed expression.
"That tingles a little."
"You'll be fine." I waited until I'd given him what I approximated to be about 50 mana before releasing my grip.
"That felt a little odd, but no. I'm not mind-controlled, Corrin. This really is me. Are your tests done?"
"Those parts are, at least. Now tell me something obscure that Tristan would know."
Tristan smiled. "A better test. Let's see. I always hated my middle name growing up, because I thought it sounded like a girl's name."
"Val does sound kind of like a girl's name, yeah. They should have gone with Valor, but a lot of people know about your middle name. He raised an eyebrow.
Like who?
I'm not feeding you more information. Nice try. I folded my arms. Tell me something about myself.
You were always jealous of my height.
Too generic. Anyone could guess that. Try again.
You were jealous of my swordsmanship, too.
So is virtually everyone your age and younger. Tristan pointed a finger at me.
Fine. Once when you were about 3, you stepped on an insect and it stopped moving. I explained to you that it was dead and what that meant. You cried for the next hour. You were inconsolable.
He pulled a hand back to his hip.
From what I've seen, you haven't changed.
I glanced at him up and down. You don't seem to have changed much either.
You're wrong about that.
He turned his head away.
But if you believe my identity now, I suppose we can discuss more important things. I'm sure you have questions. Shall we start with some of the obvious ones?
I nodded slowly, taking a breath. After all this time, it really was him. Tristan, my older brother, was right in front of me. I should have been happier. I should have been thrilled. But he wasn't what I'd expected. He wasn't dead or chained to the walls of a dark cell. He looked normal, healthy, safe. I didn't know how to handle that. I had so many questions I wanted to ask him. The first one that came to me wasn't what I'd planned on. It just sort of slipped out. Why didn't you come home? Tristan raised a hand to brush some unkempt hair out of his eyes.
That's sort of a complicated question.
I think I deserve an answer. I shook my head. Why didn't you at least tell us you were alive? Mother, father, and I... Everything changed while you were gone. Tristan shook his head slowly, a hint of sadness in his tone as he replied.
That wasn't my choice. It wasn't allowed.
Not allowed? By who? I found my hands balling into fists.
Calm down, Corin. The simple answer is Tengen, but there's more to it.
He let out an exasperated breath, his expression somewhere between sadness and frustration.
I wasn't expecting you to react like this. You seem almost upset to see me.
I took a breath. I'm not upset to see you, Tristan. I'm glad you're alive. My hands tightened again. But when you first contacted me, you lied. I asked the voice of the tower if they knew anything about you, and you lied. Tristan hesitated for a moment, a pang of guilt playing across his features.
I just said that there were a lot of people who came through the tower and—
Don't play semantics! You deliberately deceived me. He nodded.
I did. I wasn't ready to tell you. There were too many other things that needed to fall into place.
And you manipulated me into helping with that.
Tristan furrowed his brow. It wasn't my first choice. But as I'm sure you recall, the first person who found the prison didn't end well, and I had a limited time window to work with.
I let my hands unclench. You don't know what it's been like back at home without you. Tristan just shrugged at that.
I heard mother and father split up a few years ago.
That was just a small part. Father pulled me out of school. He was obsessed with training me to be better than you, just so that I wouldn't die in the spire like you had. It wasn't good for me, Tristan. Tristan actually laughed.
You think a little training is bad? You haven't seen half the things I have, Corin. I'm sure that Father just wanted to help you be safe.
Safe? I lifted up the shirt of metallic leaves and my own cloth shirt underneath. Even with all the healing I'd gone through and all the regeneration items, the scars from the blade of a dueling cane were clearly visible. Does this look like he was trying to make me safe?
Tristan shook his head. I'm sorry, Corin. I didn't know, but I'm sure Father was just trying to discipline you properly. You never were good at following instructions.
Tristan smiled like it was an inside joke, something that I should have been laughing at along with him. I let my shirt sink back down, and I felt something in my heart sink along with it. Tristan didn't understand. But how could he? He hadn't been there. He hadn't seen it. He hadn't heard the shouting or felt the blows. There might have been some training involved at first, but in the end, there had only been anger. I turned my head away. I can't talk about this anymore.
That's fine. It wasn't what I thought you were going to ask about anyway. I'm sure you have other questions.
I nodded slowly, taking deep breaths to try to calm myself.
How are you alive?
Aha.
Now that's more like it.
Tristan smiled again, seeming pleased that things were going back to the script he'd prepared for.
When we grew up, they told us there were two outcomes to a judgment. Success, and you earn an attunement. Fail and you die. We always had legends about survivors, of course, but they were few. You latched on to them even before I disappeared. You didn't want to believe the goddess would kill people just for failing some stupid test. The irony is that you were right in a way, but terribly wrong in another. It's not that the goddess spares the failures, as you'd hoped. It's that she does considerably worse.
Worse? I felt my heart sink further. Tristan's smile faded.
You see, Corin, when I finished my judgment, I met someone. A man appeared to me and he told me something that sounded wonderful. That many of those who disappeared in the tower were still alive, serving the will of the goddess. He told me that he was one such servant. A whisper. An envoy of Tengen himself. And that I had been chosen as one of only a dozen candidates to remain within the spire to train and join his order. I knew even then that it sounded too good to be true, but I wanted to believe. And he told me that if I changed my mind, I would only need to stay in the spire for 5 years. I would be given an attunement, a powerful one, that no ordinary person would be given, and a new identity to use if I chose to leave. I asked questions. He told me about the basics of what we would be doing, and it's much like 100 scholars have speculated. People prepare rooms in the spire, change the connections, prepare treasure and traps. It seemed reasonable, and I thought I could make a positive change if I stayed. Make the spires more efficient, less lethal. He assured me that others were already working to do the same, that the goddess wished to test us, not to kill us.
Tristan shook his head. It doesn't matter what the goddess wanted. She's not paying any attention. Or if she is, she doesn't care. He sighed.
The Visages have been in charge for ages, and their interest isn't in building humanity into something greater. It certainly isn't in getting us to the top of the spires. The Visages are just like any other petty despots. They have power now, and they'll do whatever they can to keep it or expand it further.
What do you mean?
I mean that our society is built around a series of lies.
His lips twisted into a sneer.
The tyrant in gold rules the entire outside world. A lie.
He turned his face upward.
The goddess watches over us and guides us on our path. A lie.
He gestured to the whole room around us.
The Visages do her will in the world and help us to achieve greatness. A lie. It's all lies. The foundation of our culture is rotten. We're taught to avoid the world outside of Caldwin, but it's not because it's dangerous. It's not because the tyrant is in complete control. It's because if we saw the other continents, we'd see other perspectives. Places that still oppose the tyrant openly, and other lands where no one has ever heard of the tyrant in gold. We're taught that the goddess watches over us, but when has she ever intervened? For or against anyone. Selyse may have existed once, but in effect, she's as dead as the other gods. More so, perhaps. And if she does live, look at her teachings. Look at how much is hidden from us. We are forced to worship her and her alone. We are taught the outside world is dangerous, and few are even allowed to leave. People who know too much of the truth are kept imprisoned, as your friend Karis was, or branded to prevent them from speaking. What does that sound like to you, Corin? Because to me, that sounds like the work of a tyrant.
His words came faster and faster, almost hysterical.
But that isn't even the worst of it. The Visages are always seeking greater control. Perhaps some of them still believe in bits and pieces of the message that they espouse, that they will raise humanity to a higher standard. But look at their actions. When a kingdom, like Lavia, for example, grows too powerful, they smash it apart. When a culture clings too hard to old traditions that predate the coming of the goddess to these lands, they stamp them out. I'm sure you've heard that Edria had a visage marching with them during the invasion of Keldridge. Why do you think the other visages allowed that? Because human society has never been free. Their goal has never been anything less than the complete subjugation of our species. We are nothing but tools to them, game pieces to be played against the other visages in their struggles for dominance.
I didn't know what to say to all that. I pondered while he took a breath and finally settled for a question.
How do you know all this?
Because I was a part of it, Corrin. I was a whisper. I worked for Tengen directly. I learned the functions of the spire, and I watched hundreds, even thousands of people climb the spires. And I saw that as they rose higher, the challenges grew less and less fair.
I held up a hand for him to pause.
Wait. I thought you were a whisper of Wid.
Tristan smiled.
That part came later. An offer came to do some work for the Whispers of Wid. I accepted, of course, but remained in Tengen's retinue the entire time.
I frowned.
Why?
By that point, I'd been working for Tengen a few years, and I'd already seen the unfairness in the Spire's designs.
Unfairness?
Tristan shook his head.
It seems humorous at first, when a room subverts expectations. It's much less funny when a group of climbers does everything right and everyone dies. Because they were set up to fail. I know this, because I followed orders. I helped build those unfair tests. I watched the results, until I could watch no longer.
But some people do reach the top, don't they? My voice was quiet, uncertain.
Every few decades, perhaps.
Someone who is exactly what the visage is looking for.
Someone who shows the right loyalties. The right amount of faith in the goddess?
Someone powerful but easy to manipulate.
Reaching the top of the spire has never simply been about being the best. It's about being someone the visages believe they can use.
Tristan smiled.
Your friend Karras, for example, would never reach the top of this spire. They know his goals, and they would not wish for him to succeed.
It doesn't matter how powerful he is. They'd simply put him in a room with no exits.
That's... I shook my head. Why wouldn't they want Karras to reach the top of the spire?
Because they're afraid of the changes he'd cause if he managed to find a way to speak to the goddess herself. That is one of the few things I actually agree with the visages on.
I blinked.
Why? What would happen?
Tristan folded his hands in front of him.
Karras plans to ask the goddess to do something active in the world. I don't know exactly what it is, but if he succeeds in drawing Selyse back into world affairs, it could be catastrophic. I'm not convinced she's even alive, but if she is, it's better for her to remain uninvolved in world affairs. That is preferable to a being with her degree of power that may decide we've all been a failed experiment.
That's a grim way of looking at it, but he has a point.
I wanted to believe that if Selyse was real, and she was made aware of our problems, maybe she'd make things better. But I wasn't the one who had been trapped in a spire of Selyse's design for the last 5 years. I could see why Tristan might be less excited about the goddess taking any further steps to intervene in human affairs. If Selyse was powerful enough to create the god beasts and the visages, she was clearly much more powerful than they were, at least as individuals. If she didn't like how a nation developed, would she simply wipe them off the planet? I didn't want to find out. But I still had other questions.
Wait, so why switch allegiances to Wid, then? They're still a visage.
Knowledge. Forbidden knowledge, to be specific.
Tristan folded his hands.
I learned a great deal from working with the Whispers of Wid. Things about the inner workings of the spires, the functionality of attunements, monsters. Bits of information that could be used as tools to aid in my plans.
So you learned these things and what, started a revolution?
Huh, I wish I could take credit for such a thing, but no.
Tristan shook his head.
I'm relatively new to all this. People have been watching the terrors wrought by the visages for centuries. Planning, paving the way for future generations to act. I'm only one participant in this, and I'm not even one of the leaders of the current movement.
How did you get involved, then?
Tristan smiled.
Mother, of course.
Mother? she's one of the people causing all this? He shook his head.
No, not exactly. Only in the loosest sense. She did not organize anything. That was already happening before I even was recruited into the Spire. It started with Orden and her ilk, working within the Whispers and other powerful organizations. They recruited high-ranking priests and government officials who knew the truth. Now Mother's life changed when she reached the halfway point of the Spire, and she was offered a deal.
I frowned. A deal?
As I said, the visages do not wish for anyone to reach the top of the Spire unless they have the proper characteristics. Mother was powerful, influential, and dedicated. She had a singular goal. She would have pursued it to her dying day if she needed to.
He turned his head to the side, but it was not to be.
What was this deal?
Tristan turned back to me.
Tenjin came to her directly. He praised her for her achievements, having reached higher in the Spire than anyone had in decades. And he offered her a gift. A boon that he would grant himself if she would never set foot in the Spire again.
I felt my heart sink. And she asked for him to bring you back.
Indeed. Tristan laughed. It was her goal from the beginning. Tenjin knew this. He had watched her, and she had mentioned it often to the others who climbed with her from time to time. He told her that I was alive and in his service. She was overjoyed at first, until she learned that Tenjin would not allow me to leave. Tenjin's compromise was that he let us meet. He believed that I was loyal, and that simply knowing that I was alive and healthy would be enough for Mother.
Tristan shook his head. We were allowed to talk within the Spire for a single hour,
ostensibly in private, but I knew that we'd be watched.
I could not tell her the truth there,
but I was able to pass her a seemingly innocuous book.
A book like mine? Tristan nodded.
Precisely. It's possible Tenjin realized what I'd given her and simply chose not to act. But I took the risk, and it worked. I wrote to her. I explained what I knew, and she began to plan, recruiting more people outside the Spire to our plan. She became instrumental to our efforts, since few of those who know what I do are ever allowed to leave.
But why did Tenjin allow the meeting at all? Why not just tell her that you were dead and beyond his abilities to revive?
It is unwise for the visages to admit to weaknesses or limitations. It undermines their authority. Moreover, I believe Tenjin thought she could be manipulated. Perhaps up until the point where he was captured, he believed everything was still going according to plan. Even beings as ancient as they are have the ability to make mistakes. In fact, an inability to accurately anticipate how humans think is perhaps one of their greatest weaknesses.
Couldn't he have just let you leave, then? Only letting you speak for an hour must have seemed like a poor reward for all of Mother's years of climbing. Tristan shook his head.
I should probably explain something else. There would have been an uprising long ago if those of us within the Spires had the freedom to do as we choose. But we are carefully watched, and of course, limited by other factors.
He lifted up his shirt. His entire chest was covered with a massive runic inscription. Is that a brand? Like the one Katashi had put on me?
Precisely. A much more complex variation. The more knowledge and access a whisper is given, the more is added to our brand, and the more things we're restricted from. In my case, the core function is to prevent me from ever leaving the Spire. It would explode if I did, and I assure you that would be quite fatal.
Couldn't Tenjin just have removed it? Maybe removed your memories?
Tristan pulled his shirt back down, then put a hand over his chest. Perhaps with great effort, but the brand was not Tenjin's work. It was placed by another visage.
Wid, I presume?
Precisely. Tenjin may have been able to remove it, but if Wid learned of that, it may have caused a conflict between them. It was not worth the risk. Moreover, Tenjin has always framed these marks as something he disagrees with, that Wid forces upon us.
Wait, so Tenjin knew you were working for Wid? Tristan nodded.
Oh, of course. Working for another visage from time to time was not unusual.
I may have made it sound clandestine, but
any work that I performed for WID went through approved channels. The only secret portion was that the Whispers of WID believed I was loyal to WID, and Tengen believed I was loyal to him.
Why would he take the risk of keeping you close if there was any chance that your loyalties could be compromised? Tristan chuckled.
I don't think you understand precisely how powerful these visages are. Under ordinary circumstances, no human could possibly challenge them. That has led to each and every one of them developing a degree of arrogance. Tengen probably knew there was a chance that WID would try to use me against him in some way, but he would never have expected it to be a physical assault.
Tristan shook his head.
Similarly, I suspect he believed that Mother or I would take out our aggression against WID if we felt that it was WID that was keeping us apart. He thought he could manipulate us to his own ends.
I nodded at that. But he failed. You moved against Tengen first.
Indeed. Not because Tengen is the worst of the visages, but because of convenience. Once Mother had the book, I was able to explain a great deal to her. She spoke with many of the Whispers who operated out of the Spire, and they made plans. When we learned that Vera Corrington was coming to the Spire to test a new form of artificial attuned, it was a perfect opportunity to lure Tengen into a vulnerable position. We took it.
I still don't understand how you managed to incapacitate a visage. Tristan chuckled, stepping out of the doorway and finally letting it close.
A great deal of knowledge of how his abilities work, the element of surprise, and a good deal of luck.
I hesitated now that he was approaching. I didn't think he was going to attack me, but I was still on high alert. That's not a real answer.
No, you're right. But I can't tell you everything.
He tapped his chest. I understood the gesture, but I wasn't going to take that simple of a response. You could claim that anything you don't want to tell me is one of the things your brand prevents.
Also true. But I have no motivation to omit things like the weaknesses of the visages. I want them to be defeated.
Including WID? Or are they helping you?
Tristan shook his head. That's an excellent question, but no. WID isn't working with us. I'm sure WID is aware of everything that is happening, however, and they probably have an angle on how to use it to their advantage.
I tilted my head to the side. Why did you imply that you wanted me to join the Whispers of WID, then?
Ah, that. Tristan shrugged. I plan to have you infiltrate them to get information for me. But things changed, and that's no longer wise. The details are unimportant.
I frowned, considering. Who's backing you for all this, if it isn't WID? You implied you had someone powerful helping you.
Tristan shook his head. Sorry. Can't talk about that. But it's not WID, and I'll say that it isn't the Tyrant either.
I gave him a dirty look. I don't like the fact that you're still keeping secrets.
You're going to have to accept a degree of it. I'm sorry for that. But just as you don't trust me, I can't completely trust you with everything either.
That made a degree of sense, but I still felt a brief surge of frustration. Fine, fine. But why try to attack the visages directly like this? I mean, it's obvious you feel they're manipulating people, but what's your end goal here? Killing them all? Would that even be possible?
Perhaps it would be, but that would be a terrible risk at best.
Tristan shook his head.
No, that's not my goal, although it is a more popular one.
What do you mean?
As I said, I'm not in charge of this little uprising. Many Whispers have far more influence than I. I played a key part in imprisoning Tengen, and that has earned me a degree of clout, but I'm not the one making all the decisions. And that, unfortunately, has put you in harm's way. I'm sorry for that.
He didn't sound particularly sorry. You mean what happened with Mizuchi? What was that about?
Someone working to remove competition. The uprising has a central ideal, that humanity must be liberated from the oppression of the visages. This sounds like a good unifying factor on the surface, but there's no agreement in how to go about doing it. This has resulted in the birth of 3 sub-factions, each with different goals.
He raised a finger.
First and most prominently, you have the Godslayer faction. They believe the visages must be killed. They also believe that anyone who has been complicit in the visages retaining control, such as the rulers of most kingdoms and the highest-ranking priests, should also be removed.
Tristan raised a second finger. The Peacemaker faction believes that our goal should be to work with the Visages and get them to acknowledge their faults, that we should perhaps show a firm hand and our willingness to fight, but that ultimately we are better off working with the Visages than against them. Finally, he raised a third finger, there is my faction, a much smaller group with little support and different goals. He paused. It was the Godslayer faction that employed Mizuchi to attack that ball. Their goal was to remove important figures of government, as well as supporters for the Peacemaker faction in my own group.
How is that possible? Shouldn't Mizuchi only be able to leave the spire with the help of a Visage?
Tristan shook his head. A powerful enough summoner with a contract with Mizuchi could use a true summoning spell to bring her outside the spire. I believe that is what happened.
I tightened my jaw. A powerful summoner. Like Alora Theus, perhaps?
I find it unlikely that it was Alora, but you're wise to suspect her.
She has the capability to accomplish such a thing, but I don't believe she has the motivation.
I nodded. Do you have any idea on who else it might be?
I am not certain. I've had minimal contact with the outside world. You probably know more summoners than I do.
I didn't think I knew any as powerful as Alora, but I could do some digging at the Divinatory another time. And this faction of yours, what is it?
I'm glad you asked.
He clapped his hands together.
I call us Ascension. I believe there is a fundamental flaw in simply trying to eliminate the Visages or work with them. In the first case, we would then be at the whim of other powerful beings, either from within our continent or the outside world. The latter case is an overly optimistic dream. There's no way to negotiate with a being that can wipe out your cities with a swipe of their hand and outlive you 100 times over. The Visages do not rule us because they are too strong. They rule us because humanity is too weak. If we ever truly wish for humanity to emerge from the shadow of the Visages, we must rise to be their equals. And that, my dear brother, is my goal. To raise every human being, and not just a chosen few, to power comparable to that of the Visages themselves.
I folded my arms. That sounds good from a conceptual standpoint, but what happens when an ordinary person who has a bad day can wipe out a city?
Tristan nodded. Giving everyone exactly the same capabilities as a Visage would be a mistake, of course. We do not need every human being to have that degree of offensive power. But imagine if every human had a guardian attunement, at a level higher than Emerald, and bodies as resilient as a serpent's. Imagine if no one had to die from malnutrition, disease, or accidents. And if an outside force chose to invade our continent, every citizen could break swords with their bare hands. Bullets would deflect from their shrouds.
I'd considered much the same, though on a smaller scale, when I first thought about the potential ramifications of artificial attunements. Widespread wayfarer attunements for rapid transportation. Elementalists who simply manipulated the weather to improve crop yields. Menders on every street in case someone was injured.
It was an appealing prospect, but it seemed almost too good to be true.
A part of me tried to fabricate reasons in my mind why it was too dangerous, or why it couldn't be possible. But I knew the truth. There was a part of me that was just afraid of change, and another part that was afraid of losing what made me special. I'd risked my life for that attunement. Was it really fair for others to get them for free? Perhaps even any attunement of their choice? But that was an inherently selfish line of thinking. If there was a way that everyone could have attunements, in a way that didn't cause great harm, that was a goal worth striving toward. But if that really was Tristan's goal, it still raised further questions. If your goal is widespread attunements for humanity, why did you sabotage Vera's test?
That was Ordin's work, not mine. And while I could have opposed her, I would have failed. She was one of very few Whispers who had enough trust from the Visages to work outside of the spires. I'm sure she had a brand to prevent her from talking about certain things, but she had freedom. And that freedom gave her power and influence.
He turned his head toward the room he'd exited from.
But Ordin is out of the picture now. And I have access to excellent sources of research. Moreover, artificial attunement research continues unimpeded within Kelford. While Vera's team was important,
They were only one group of several.
I turned toward the doors he'd come from and pointed. That room. That's where you're keeping Tengen? And those other researchers?
Tristan shook his head.
I won't answer that. I wanted you to know why I'm doing what I'm doing, but you're not working with me. I'd like you to, and I'll make you that offer here now, but it would take time and trust before I would give you a secret as great as Tengen's location.
I could respect that. I was getting used to having secrets of my own. Okay. I do have to ask one more thing, though.
Of course. I'm sure you have many questions.
When you first were admitting who you were in the book, why'd you send me a villain monologue? Tristan broke into laughter.
I was a bit over the top, wasn't I? In truth, I didn't know what to say to you. I would have told you the truth earlier, but I couldn't risk the possibility that Orden was going to find your book. Until she was out of the picture, I couldn't write my name in there. If she'd known I had ways of communicating with the outside world, she could have used that against me. Had me executed, even.
He shook his head.
But aside from that, there's a part of me that wanted to motivate you.
In what way? I was already looking for you.
Of course. And
he looked pained for a moment.
Thank you, Corin. Like Mother, you never stopped believing that I might be alive. You even asked about me during your judgment. I'm grateful for that. You've always asked questions. That's something I respect about you.
But
I needed you to dig deeper. I needed you to consider the possibility that anyone could be a threat. Even me. You need to internalize that. It will help you survive the things to come.
And those things are? I'm working on it, Tristan sighed.
I have plans, of course, but the attack on the ball injured or killed many of my key allies. It's going to take me some time to...
There was a loud snap as the door behind me flew off its hinges. I spun, drawing my sword. I heard the sound of metal sliding against leather from behind me as Tristan did the same. In front of us, in the open doorway, was my sister, Sarah. How is she? A figure behind her pushed her forward. Sarah stumbled, then broke into a run toward me.
Go ahead and run, summoner.
Mizuchi smiled as she stepped into the room, glancing from side to side. She was in her human form with the long purple hair.
I'd be glad to have you all in one place. It's easier to kill you at the same time that way.
I ran to Sarah, stopping when she was near me. What happened? How are you here? Sarah stopped running when she reached me.
She summoned me.
What? Mizuchi laughed.
You humans are so arrogant. You forget that we serpents are superior beings, and that we can learn your little attunement arts, too.
I glanced at Sarah. But without a contract! Sarah let out a nervous chuckle, stepping behind me. She was unarmed and had a long gash along her right arm.
I cast a binding on her during the fight in the ball. And what your sister didn't realize is that when you have a binding or a contract with another summoner, they go both ways.
Mizuchi clasped her hands together.
Of course, normally I would have ignored a little girl trying to bind me, as insolent of a gesture as it was. But imagine my surprise when I learned that she was the sister of the legendary Tristan Cadence. Blood of his blood.
I glanced at Sarah's injury and realized what had happened at the same time Tristan explained it.
A tracking spell.
Tristan stepped forward next to the two of us, assuming a traditional dueling stance.
But I know your abilities, Mizuchi. Summoning is among them, but divination is not.
Ah, yes, quite right.
Mizuchi turned back toward the doorway.
Come along, darling. Don't be shy.
Researcher stepped into the room after her, her head bowed in shame.
I didn't tell you to speak, dear. I'm just showing you so they understand their mistake.
And I did. I remembered where I'd seen Mizuchi before, stepping out of the restricted section of the divinatory. When I'd helped Mara during her test, she told me that serpents could learn attunement abilities. She'd also told me that they could assume a human form, but often with some distinguishing characteristics.
like purple hair, for example. The same color as Mizuchi's scales. That hadn't been enough for me to consider the possibility that researcher's summoner had been someone who wasn't human. While I could conceptualize the idea of a serpent living in human society in disguise, the thought that one of them might have already been doing something like that so close to me, it had never even occurred to me. How long had Mizuchi been monitoring the academy? It was right outside the spire, so she could have summoned researcher and left her at the academy at any time she'd been outside. It could have been years before. Or maybe she wasn't researcher's original summoner. She just made a contract later, like at the time I'd seen Mizuchi leaving. It didn't matter at the moment. What mattered was that we'd been completely outmaneuvered.
"You're a difficult man to find, Tristan Cadence."
Mizuchi stepped forward. She was still a good 20 feet from us, but that barely meant anything with her speed and ranged attacks.
"I was fortunate I detected researcher's entry to the spire and summoned her to see what she was doing. Imagine how surprised I was to learn that you were planning to meet with your brother. I'd have never reached you if you'd been wise enough to remain in your little sanctum, but you were foolish enough to step outside."
Tristan stepped out in front of Sarah and me.
"What do you want, Mizuchi?"
"I think I already made that perfectly clear."
She raised a hand, inspecting it. The hand shifted into a claw.
"You have committed the worst sort of treason, Tristan Cadence. I'm certain you're aware the penalty for that is execution."
Tristan raised his off hand in a gesture to wait.
"If you do that, you'll never learn where Tengen is."
"I'm sure I'll learn to live with my disappointment."
Researcher stepped forward from the doorway.
"I'm sorry, Corin. If I'd refused to help her, she'd have broken our contract. I'd be gone forever."
I understood, not wanting to die. "It's okay. We'll figure this out."
"Such an optimist. You're very like your mother. It's a shame she's not here to see her children die, but I'll make sure to tell her all about it before I deal with her."
Tristan stepped forward again.
"Can I confirm who sent you at least, if you're planning to kill us anyway?"
"A good try, dear, but no. How about you stop moving and prepare to die?"
I felt my body freeze as Mizuchi's spell took hold. I was getting really tired of mental compulsion spells, and this one was extremely potent. Fortunately, I had planned for this. "Ignore her commands," I whispered to myself. That activated the ring formerly known as the Ring of Derek Controlling, which I'd modified to only activate based on my instructions. The perception mana flooded into me, successfully overriding Mizuchi's command. Her spell was weaker than what she'd used in the ballroom, most likely because she was still recovering from being banished. I took a step forward, preparing to draw my weapon.
"Shrugged that one off somehow? Okay, just go ahead and kill yourselves."
I struggled as her command washed over me, raising my sword, not to fight Mizuchi, but to follow her order. "Ignore her," I commanded myself. The ring activated again, but this time she'd put more effort into the spell. The ring wasn't working quickly enough. My arm continued to move against my will, bringing my sword up to my throat. I struggled to convert my mana into mental mana, but I was failing. Tristan took a breath, then stepped back and put a hand on my shoulder, seemingly unaffected by Mizuchi's spell.
"Absorb magic."
I felt Mizuchi's spell tear out of me, freeing me from the paralysis in an instant. It was not a pleasant sensation. Still, I was glad to be free. He repeated the process with Sarah.
"Absorb magic."
Sarah and I shivered as we recovered from the spells, taking a few more steps back. Mizuchi shook her head.
"That attunement of yours is extremely irritating. I suppose we'll have to do this the hard way."
"It can be a lot more than irritating."
Tristan took another step closer to Mizuchi, retaining his combat stance.
"Don't test me. You won't like the results."
Mizuchi laughed.
"You think you can threaten me?"
"You're not at your full strength. You were just banished recently. I doubt you can even transform."
Tristan took a step forward.
"My brother here fought you when you were at full strength and made it through. I'm willing to bet I can do better."
"Your brother survived because I let him survive, fool."
Mizuchi let out a growl.
And while I may not be at my full strength, I am still more than capable of handling a few human children.
While Tristan briefly had Mizuchi's attention, I reached into my bag and opened the Jaden box.
Retrieve healing potion. I handed it to Sarah. Drink that.
She nodded, accepting the potion and drank it. The wound on her arm began to close. It wasn't much, but if we were going to fight Mizuchi, I wanted to be as prepared as possible. And giving her the healing potion had given me another idea.
I'm done chatting. Mizuchi clapped her hands together. Now the killing begins. After I prevent you from fleeing, that is.
She whirled around, moving as a blur away from us. Then her claw was scratching a rune into the wall. I realized what it was immediately. An anti-teleportation rune. She was sealing off our only means of escape. In that moment, I could have activated the circlet and fled before she finished it, but Tristan couldn't leave the spire. His brand would kill him, and I was not leaving him behind to die. I glanced at Tristan with my attunement active. His aura was still sunstone. If he'd been hiding his power like I'd expected, he hadn't made any move to change it. When I looked at Mizuchi, I saw something far more interesting. Her shroud was shimmering with several colors, which I recognized as being multiple layers. Much like me, she had the equivalent of multiple attunements, or at least multiple shrouds. Several of them. I couldn't count the number. It was too much of a blur. Sarah acted in the moment while Mizuchi was distracted.
Wall!
A wall of ice appeared, crossing the entire room between us and Mizuchi.
Wall! Wall! Wall!
She layered more walls in our way, knowing they wouldn't last long. I turned to Tristan.
Can you beat her since she's weaker than usual?
Tristan raised a hand to his face and laughed hysterically.
Goddess, no! I was bluffing! We don't stand a chance!
Then can you get Karis to us?
Mizuchi finished her rune, turning toward us and taking a deep breath. I saw something interesting then, since my attunement was still active. One of the layers of her shroud vanished as she inhaled.
That was fascinating.
Not from here, Tristan replied. Only from the sanctum. There's no time.
Mizuchi exhaled, blasting a jet of flame straight through all four layers of Sarah's wall. Tristan jumped in the way of the attack. For an instant, Tristan was engulfed in fire, and my heart sank. Then the flames twisted and converged into a single point. His right fist. He stepped toward Mizuchi. The flame surged upward from his hand, enveloping his sword.
Thanks. I needed something that could hurt you.
Mizuchi growled and lunged at him, moving faster than I could follow. Tristan could, though. He stepped out of the way, swinging and hitting Mizuchi with his burning blade. The flames exploded on contact, and Mizuchi flew backward, cracking into the ice wall. Sarah pointed.
Wall!
Another wall appeared in front of Mizuchi and curved around her, effectively trapping her between two walls. Tristan stepped forward as Mizuchi began battering the wall with her fists, snarling as ice cracked away. I reached back into my bag.
Retrieve healing potion.
A healing potion appeared. Mizuchi burst through the ice. Tristan jabbed at her again, but she evaded this time, and his sword hit the ice. She slammed him in the chest with a claw, and he flew backward, disarmed. Mizuchi lunged at Tristan, but Sarah raised another ice wall. Mizuchi crashed into it. Tristan clutched at his ribs, stumbling back. I tossed him my sword. He caught it, just as Mizuchi burst through the wall, then swung it in midair and projected a shockwave. The wave of ice slammed into Mizuchi with no effect. Then she was right next to Tristan, swinging at him again. Tristan barely managed to step backward and avoid the blow. I stopped watching. I had work to do.
Retrieve Mage's Folly,
the herb appeared. I opened the healing potion and tossed it inside. The liquid changed from red to black.
Retrieve Queen's Crown.
Another herb appeared. I tossed it in. The liquid bubbled and sparkled. I replaced the stopper and looked back at the fight. Tristan was down on the ground. Mizuchi was right on top of him, holding his arms. She was laughing and squeezing, probably with enough force to break bones. I ran just a few steps closer to make sure my aim was good, then threw the potion at her. The glass bottle exploded across her back. She let go of Tristan and screamed. Mage's Folly reversed the effect of a concoction. Queen's Crown greatly amplified the effect.
I'd hit her with a reversed, amplified healing potion. Tristan struggled to get out from under her while she screamed, but she was still pinning him with her body. She swiped a clawed hand downward, and I saw blood splatter as it gouged across his face. Sarah hit Mizuchi with a blast of wind, and Mizuchi was sufficiently distracted that the air knocked her away. Mizuchi was rising again in a moment, though. She took a breath, and flames burst from her body, evaporating the potion before it could do more damage. That was bad, because I'd hoped the potion would continue to burn through her and deal more damage. It was also enlightening, however. One of the layers of her shroud vanished when she inhaled, just like when she'd used her breath attack. That gave me something to consider, but I had something more urgent to worry about. Scales were beginning to appear across her skin. She was changing forms. It would take a few seconds, but that wasn't enough time for much. I reached into my bag again, trying to think. Sarah ran toward where Researcher was standing in the doorway. She said something, but I couldn't hear her. Tristan was still on the ground, clutching at his face. Celise Leanne lay nearby. Think, Corin, think! Retrieve Karis's blood! Summon Karis Salarian! Nothing happened. I'd hoped that being inside the spire, maybe the additional mana and the short distance would be enough to let the box work, but that hope had been in vain. That was fine. I had other options. Store Karis's blood! Retrieve Silverbrand! A silver dagger appeared in my hand. I knew that, at least according to Karis, it was a powerful magical item that had once belonged to Rin Jaden. I hurled it at Mizuchi. It bounced off her scales and fell to the floor without effect. Note to self, foreign magical items are not always as useful as the Jaden box. After that, Mizuchi was done transforming. Wings and a tail burst from her back. Horns emerged from her head. Her entire body was covered with scales now. Now, she turned toward Sarah. You're the weakest one, summoner. I think you'll be first, Sarah whispered. You're wrong. What was that, dear? Speak up! Mizuchi floated a few feet off the ground, then reached up and formed a ball of flame in her right hand. I said, you're wrong. About which point? All of it. Sarah reached out her right hand. She was wearing her bracer, the one I'd given her that enhanced summoning spells. I'm not weak. I'm not going to die. And, she grinned, I'm not a summoner. Not anymore. Her bracer glowed for a moment, then she brought her hands together in front of her. Beneve, I invoke your power! Sarah's entire body began to glow as mana burned in the air around her. Then wings of stone appeared behind her, merging with a suit of stone armor that formed around her body from the neck down. An ascended attunement. Mizuchi tilted her head downward for a moment. You're an invoker now. That's very interesting. If ultimately meaningless. Mizuchi hurled her sphere of fire, but Sarah just raised a hand and pointed at it. A gust of wind blasted the sphere, detonating it early. The blast was large enough that it hurled me off my feet, and I landed several feet away. My silver phoenix sigil protected me from the heat, though. Tristan wasn't quite as lucky. The explosion hit him on the ground, and I could see that he'd been badly burned. I pulled myself to my feet and reached into my bag. Sarah soared upward. Mizuchi followed. I ran to Tristan. Retrieve healing potion! Tristan sat up and I shoved the potion at him. The right side of his face was a bloody mess, and a good portion of his chest and neck were covered with burns. His shroud had stopped the blast from being fatal, at least. He awkwardly reached for the potion. I put it in his hand.
Thanks,
he managed, drinking it and coughing.
You should go. Run for the door she came in. Then teleport once you're outside.
I shook my head. I've been working to see you again for 5 years. I'm not letting you die here. Above us, Mizuchi hurled blasts of lightning at Sarah, but she shaped them out of the way. They struck the walls and blasted apart chunks of stone. I didn't know how Sarah was powerful enough to be countering Mizuchi's attacks. She was clearly still fighting on the defensive, but she'd never been able to counter anything close to the level of Mizuchi's attacks. At the moment, I had more pressing concerns. Retrieve healing potion! Retrieve healing potion! I laid out the potions. Drink these! I'm going to see if I can help Sarah somehow. I picked up Celise Leanne. Tristan grudgingly began to drink the potions, shaking his head.
You can't beat her.
No, I shook my head. But I'm not alone. I pointed my sword upward. It was a bad angle for trying to send a slash in Mizuchi's direction, and I'd seen that it wasn't powerful enough to do much to her in her current state anyway. Instead, I remembered what Karis had taught me. I concentrated, forming a mana thread and connecting it to the sword's runes, then reshaping the ice energy around the blade. I formed it into a single point around the tip as if I was planning to thrust. Mizuchi flew towards Sarah, raising a claw that glimmered with mana. Sarah flew to the side to dodge, but the claw was a feint. Mizuchi's tail snapped forward, tearing off one of Sarah's stone wings. Unbalanced, Sarah fell from the sky. Mizuchi descended after her, ready to strike. I struck first. My ring of jumping wasn't recharged yet, but the fall from the last room had made it clear that I didn't really need it. I jumped, blasting myself upward with transference mana, and jammed my sword into Mizuchi's wing. Even with the added force of transference mana pushing me, the sword failed to pierce her scales. But a physical attack bypassed her shroud, and that meant the ice that I'd been gathering into a single point connected straight with her wing. Mizuchi hissed as the ice blasted over her wing and began to spread further. She lost her focus on the attack and flew to the side, then descended slowly to the ground. I flew backward from the force of the impact, but landed on my feet. Sarah landed less gracefully, smashing into the ground on her back. She groaned and pulled herself to her feet a moment later, but with only one wing intact, she couldn't fly. Mizuchi shook herself as the ice spread, then groaned, took a breath, and emitted a blast of flame from all around her. The ice melted. Again, one of the layers of her shroud vanished as she emitted the flames, confirming the pattern that I'd suspected. Every time she breathed in for an attack, she was weakening her own shroud. But it didn't last long. I could already see a new layer of the shroud forming around her. Still, maybe it was enough. Sarah was standing again. She conjured a ball of lightning and hurled it at Mizuchi, but Mizuchi simply walked into it. The attack hit her shroud and deflected out of the way without effect.
Is that the best you can do, little girl? You really think that invoking a single monster is going to be good enough to beat me?
Mizuchi flew forward as a blur, far too fast. A terrified voice yelled something from the doorway.
Sarah, jump!
Mizuchi swung her tail at Sarah an instant later. Sarah jumped over the strike, then swung her remaining wing and smashed it into Mizuchi's chest. The serpent staggered backward, hissing.
Oh, I'm going to kill that bitch. Researcher!
She turned her head toward the doorway. Researcher was cowering there. Mizuchi tilted her head downward.
I warned you what would happen if you betrayed me.
Researcher
shook her head.
Corin is my friend. I don't want you to hurt him anymore. Or anyone else.
I felt something in my heart give way when I realized what was about to happen. I charged at Mizuchi, swinging, but I was far too slow.
You don't get to have friends. You don't get to have anything, in fact. Researcher, I break our contract.
I expected Researcher to vanish, to die the moment her contract was broken. But I hadn't been paying enough attention. Neither had Mizuchi.
I never planned to beat you by invoking one monster,
Sarah turned toward Mizuchi.
So I made another contract. Researcher, I invoke your power.
A brilliant nimbus of light engulfed Sarah for the briefest of moments, then collapsed inward toward her face. When the light faded, her eyes continued to glow. That was what Sarah had been doing when she'd rushed toward the doorway. She'd made a contract with Researcher, allowing Researcher to survive without Mizuchi. Mizuchi howled and rushed toward Researcher, but Sarah formed a whirlwind of mana that shot herself directly into Mizuchi's path. When Mizuchi swept her tail at Sarah, the attack missed by a large margin. The next three swipes of her claws were equally ineffective, with Sarah somehow anticipating them and stepping out of the way. She's using divination to anticipate Mizuchi's movements, I realized. Researcher must have been doing that before, which is why she knew to warn Sarah to jump. And now she's given Sarah that ability. Mizuchi stepped back and pulled her hands together, firing a wide blast of flame that enveloped nearly the entire half of the room that Sarah was in.
Sarah didn't have nearly the power to counter